Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Multiculture 1600 AM. My name is Tua, the host of Committing to the Process, where we share stories of the extraordinaries. Today, my special guest is Dua Lore, a longtime friend and also a client of mine as well. And he's a recent graduate of Student Affairs and College Counseling Master Program at Fresno State. He has a Facebook called Learn with Dua, and it's www.facebook.com/learnwithdua/. And welcome to the show, Dua. How you doing today?
Hey, thank you, Tua. Thank you for having me here today. I'm actually doing pretty good. So I'm going to be some of our listeners can kind of hear our Hmong language, and at the same time they can learn a little bit of Hmong as well too. So
The funny thing is that when I was living in San Diego, where there's barely rarely any Hmong over there, I actually spoke better Hmong. And then when I moved to Fresno, I lost it. It's kind of funny.
It is. I mean, even like at home, I mean, like, it's so easy just to tune into okay, should I speak Hmong or should I speak English, or is it going to be like Hmonglish? Yeah. She mixed together.
Yes. And then you just, you know, it's easier to speak English, and I'll just go ahead and speak English. I just got used to it.
Yeah.
You
know? So it's sometimes it's just like automatically tune into that. So, yeah.
So going back to when I first met Dua, I was still running my tattoo shop, and then Dua came by for a artwork, and that's how I met Dua, and I discovered how his journey started. And then, so Dua, going back to before you started learning with Dua, what were you doing before that?
So interestingly, before I started that, I was just going to school, and it actually took me a pretty long time when I was going to school, because I was about 4 years old when I came here with my family. We came here, and then I started to school was pretty challenging for me in a way, knowing that I'm just gonna go to school because a lot of like bay refugees my parents tell me to go to school, so I'm just gonna go to school. So I kind of just like that space. Yeah, I eventually like that space, and we always buy the school is something that I wanted to do. So
because I have some funny stories too, like how there's a lot of mistakes that we did as an elementary. And then what was one of your funniest, or like now you look back to you and say, wow, I did that? Because I have a couple too I'm going to share in a bit though, but I want to hear yours first.
I can't really recall some of my funniest moment. Uh-huh. But I can definitely for sure tell you that the first couple of words I learned was from my parents was, teacher, I go to bathroom. knowing that I don't want to have they don't want me to have any accident at school. Yeah. So they don't have to come to school and to just provide those clothes or some of the changes. So they're like, make sure if you're gonna go use the restroom, teacher, I go to the bathroom. So that way they can excuse you from the class.
In the class. Yeah, I had that incident too, where me and you part in the same boat. My dad taught me too, teacher, I go bathroom. But the funny thing is that I couldn't read English. So, we go to the bathroom, there's in and then there's out. So you got to push in and you got to pull out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the bathroom and I push in to use the restroom. And then when I come out, I try to push to get out. But, one door is only one way, right? So it won't push out. So I was trapped in the bathroom for hours. And so the teacher had to come look for me. And then I would cry and cry. And then finally my dad, instead of teaching me in and out, he just gave me a stick. So whenever I go to the bathroom at school, I put the stick in the door.
Oh,
so it went close on me. That was so funny. And I look back to it, you know, Bimong kind of like, penalty, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Because Tona, that's the hardest part in navigating that system and knowing that how do we change, making adapting to the new lifestyle that we're currently living now. So, yeah.
Yeah, so being a refugee, did that kind of influence you to stay in education, in the education profession, or?
I think so. I believe that niying yao is a big factor that kind of pushed me to stay in the education, knowing that that was the challenging part, or that, you know, day and night you always balut pe te je te told you to chi kong mu like participate in school activities or anything like that. Je you tell, you know, how can I help my family? How can I contribute back? Then that's why I was like, you know, the best way So that was kind of like the way of like keeping myself to stay in school.
Okay. Yeah. So that kind of motivated. Are you the oldest in your family, or?
I'm actually the second oldest. Gumi's the older sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many people were in your family at the time?
There's seven of us. Wow. So I have five siblings and then my parent.
Were they all born here in the United States? I mean, half of them born over there, half born here, or are they all born over there?
Actually, so me and my older sister, we were born in Laos. So we're two sisters, two brothers.
Okay.
So they're both born in Thailand, and then I have my youngest brother who was born here.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I noticed that on your Facebook channel where you did Learn with Dua, what motivated you to start that?
So Learn with Dua kind of started back in like just 2 years ago, I think. No, yeah, in 2018. Mm-hmm. So about 2 years ago. That's when I actually got into the master's program at Fresno State in the Student Affairs and College Counseling program. Mm-hmm. Then, because before that, I was working on my Kuha undergrad and I was studying psychology. Yeah. So, to study psychology, but the purpose was because for professional development or personal development, how can I improve the way I do things? Mm-hmm. Then eventually I got into the program and I was like, you know, what is some of the ways that I can do to, you know, baku to retain and help me better myself? Then I was like, maybe I should start teaching things that I learn, so that way that I can help my community. At the same time, it also helps me too. Mm. So kuha purpose maya to teach or to show things that I learn. So that's why I call it Learn with Dua. So throughout that process, and then eventually I kind of changed where, like, currently right now my goal is to, okay, how can I teach what I learn at the same time inspire other to learn, you know, maybe like the Hmong culture, or inspire maybe, like, for example, one of the things that I'm currently working on is like knowing that or even like Hmong boys or men, we do tend to not have a high degree of like degree attainment. You know, currently right now, since I'm in that space, so that's kind of like what eventually led to become Learn with Dua.
So Learn with Dua is mainly not entirely, but
I wouldn't say fully, because new kind of money kind of comes back to ba inspire in order for me to teach, and at the same time teach what I learn, and then inspire, but not just only Hmong men or Hmong boys, but the whole Hmong community at the same time, whoever who's interested in learning about the Hmong tradition and culture.
Was this idea that you just sat there and it just came upon, or which is always something that you had in your mind for a long time, and it was the right time, right moment to execute this plan.
It was something I always had in my mind, even before I started, but I never had the courage to do it.
Why is that?
Because the fear of public speaking.
Okay. Yeah. But now you're doing events, parties, and mikongtia, all these stuff.
Yeah.
And is it because you overcame it, or you just say, you know, I'm going to do it, I just did it?
It's just kind of like, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it, and wherever it takes me. Yeah, and then wherever it takes me, then it just takes me. So,
Okay. So, when they talk on Mekong Hall, were you, at first, the first time, were you kind of like hesitating? Were you like, oh, should I do it? Or am I old enough? Or
It comes down to that. It comes down to where, it is true because
I think nowadays the elders are more forgiving because they know that their time is coming closer to the end, so they feel like, okay, if the young person comes along and then make a little mistake, but they'll teach.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't like that. They want somebody that was like top notch, huh?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because that's not a lot of people. Tradition will slowly die out.
So it's a great timing then right now to learn and practice then.
Mm-hmm.
So to become a wedding singer. In English, it's called a wedding singer, right?
I haven't really figured out a proper term because we usually, like, you could be like the negotiator because you're like the middleman between both sides of the parents and you're discussing. So sometimes I call it the wedding negotiator or, I haven't really have a term for it yet.
Okay. So when you do a negotiation, you have an experience where the other parents make it like extremely hard, and what's your take on that?
So there are times when parents will kind of like make it hard because there are a lot of times we are like a community that are very, like, it's based on clan structure.
Yeah.
Okay, even though, like, go like for example, go your Monghao, that she, another Monghao, okay, Legu, Sako, everybody, like, it's related somehow. They want to make sure that it has to be the same throughout the system. So they're trying to make it involve into that wedding.
Is that preventable too, or it has to be?
It is preventable, but a lot of times right now, during the hot era or hot time, they just wedding go by now. They need like change. A lot of times they don't want
to bring it up.
Yeah, because that's not their wedding. They even bought there, you know, like to. They both love each other already, so there's really no point for the parents to kind of make it hard on like the wedding.
Plus the parents are getting younger and younger now.
Yeah,
so they're more like, I just want to party in the backyard. Yeah, but what inspired you to become a wedding negotiator?
Because
I've been following you on Facebook for a while too, after I did your artwork. You were studying, and then I saw that couple of your videos on Facebook, and then next thing you know, I saw you doing stage MC, and then I think like last week or so, and I saw a video of you doing the wedding negotiation. I said, "Whoa, this guy is moving along the journey of that." So, what inspired you, and who did you see, or did somebody tell you to become that position, or?
I think the one that inspired me is my dad, because. My dad, he knows the traditional stuff. He's also a shaman as well too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he passed away in 2012.
Uh-huh.
So I never had the opportunity to kind of like I witnessed a lot of the stuff, but I never got the chance to learn from him. Yeah. So then I always wanted to see if I can live up to his legacy, mm-hmm. knowing that he's also the, you know, the clan leaders of like my clan mm-hmm. family, and he has done a lot of great things in our family and to the community as well. But I never got the chance to learn from him. So I was like, you know, I, even if I can't live up to his legacy, at least I can create my own. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, not a lot of, folks are learning about like Hmong tradition. Mm-hmm. So if we're able to kind of help keep this tradition alive, mm-hmm. I don't know where the future is going to hold us, especially yeah. for our future, our tradition.
Yeah.
But if it works out, and if we still continue this for the next 100 years, then let it go for the next 100 years. But if not, then, you know,
so trying to talk about tradition here. From your experience, what do you see that's kind of like stopping the youth from learning this tradition?
I think it's the complexity of it.
Oh yeah.
Knowing that there's not really a set,
like a book or something.
Huh? Yeah. So new. 你应看的你要读够，对啊。第一就就words，那也不带大家读出来English的蒙呀。这叫蒙呢，有自己确实很点。 Sometimes some of these words are like, huh? Like I don't understand yeah. what does this word mean, or how do I use it in a term where it will make sense for me?
Yeah, to this day, call at the funeral, I still haven't memorized it yet. Even have to look at the paper and then say, you know, it is. It changes from person to person sometimes, mm-hmm. and then they don't have a set, like a poetry or mm-hmm. a set wording that is okay, this is it.
Yeah.
But it kind of changes. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's part of the reason why some people just get frustrated and they say, you know what, it's kind of hard to learn, so I'll let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go back to in commercial right now, so we'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you for tuning in, Multicultural 1600 AM, and his special guest is Dua Lord.
Mula malengwa, mukodei toto.
Welcome back to Multiculture 1600 AM. My name is Tua, and this is Committing to the Process Tuesday. Today, my special guest is Dua Lore, and I'm glad to have him on board because he's been a good longtime friend, and his story is very extraordinary. A lot of story, but you know, 1 hour is all we have. So, Dua, during the break time, we were talking about about your dad's situation here. Did your dad ever try to teach you, and you were like, no, I don't want to learn because this is like old fashioned?
Yeah. Nijing, my dad has, especially my mom too, yeah. Knowing that my dad knows a lot of the tradition and culture and all of that too. So then I eventually kind of, there wasn't a lot of interest, but at the same time, there was also that piece of like, oh, I should know. Mm-hmm. But actually he tried like, for example, I remember that he actually bought me and my younger brother, mm-hmm. but actually I am not good with music. I don't have the music ear. I can't listen, I can't hear the tune. So mm-hmm. and then all the other stuff, like I just eventually kind of like learn a little bit here and there.
So did your brother ever pick up the thing, or just both of you guys completely like chihuahua?
We just both completely chihuahua, huh? We actually kind of like never got the tune down, and then we just never picked it up. Even though we picked up and blow it here, like, but we never fully like actually learn. And because my dad even looked at see if we can find like a master for us to learn from.
Yeah.
But we never successfully learn how to play, and that's something that I think maybe in the future that I will look into. Okay. Knowing that I want to at least understand the music and understand some of the that cultural and that tradition piece.
Okay. So because my dad one time too, he took me to learn choking. What kind of turned me off from it was that I didn't really understand the Hmong language too. So do you think that's one of the reason why so many youth are not tuned into it, because of the language as well? Or
yeah, I think because interestingly, how I have a buddy who was working on his master's in social work, mm-hmm. and then he was like saying like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. master's in social work.
Wow.
Because of the language, the complexity, the some of the terminology are more, it's so poetic,
yeah.
that it's sometimes it's hard for you to kind of understand, or you have to really invest in a lot of time to understand what's going on. So that could be a way that you tune off, because you have to have a strong interest and passion to in order for you to continue doing the work that you, that type of work. But actually, once it started getting harder, then start to drift off away.
Do you think that the reason why it's so hard, because like a structure?
I mean, there is a lot right now, there is a lot of books and a lot of things that has been published, mm-hmm. and there is, but it's just that it's also a very long process, and then there's also that commitment of the like the community service, not because the mm-hmm. tradition, but one on it, I see that it's really a community service, not so much of like an
like a job.
Yeah, like a job.
So when you been going, let me see. So how long in one day is it, like a 1 day commitment? How many hours do someone expect to commit to if they decide to become this profession?
So it depends. Mm-hmm. Depends, because you by day you ying chi mo anything kind of like guarantee and in return for you. It's just more of like and it depends on the day. Let's say if you don't have a voice and how many days you would like them for them to do it, because you do mupala, okay, maybe we want to do this a 2-day event. most likely the first day will be usually like towards like at night. You will start like out probably like leaving around the house like at 1 or 2, and then you'll be at the groom's house. Until they're ready, your stuff that maybe you might go into the bride side of the family, and that might take up a couple of hours or so, and you might end up leaving home like at 9 or 10.
I'm going to take a step back. So, for example, like if I go and bring home my wife, what are the first steps that we should do?
As your side of the family or?
Yeah, my side of the family.
So the first step is once
Yeah, because they keep saying that, take her to the kitchen, take her to the living room. If you take her to the living room, she's going to be lazy. Take this, all these theories, you know? So let's debunk that.
I think those are just kind of like, what is that English word there? That word, it's just not the whole belief, nah?
Yeah, because because my aunt always tell me, like that, So I was like, I think this is belief, but then the lao bei hai le huo, I want to kind of like hear from your situation, what's your take on that,
I have actually heard it a couple of times too, but I feel that it's just a belief, or it's just a way of like, I can't find that English word for it, but New Jersey call in a way where it's like something where it has been set, and then people just been using it. So that's the first thing you do. you look like that, and then you just take her inside the house, and then that's when one of the elder will have to reach out to the other side of the family and let them know that we're gonna have two messenger to come to your house to kind of let you know that your daughter is in good hand.
And is that where you step in and do that part, or is that a different person?
That's a different person. Or sometimes, you will want to find someone that who knows, kind of know what to do.
Yeah.
So that way that when they go over there, when you go for the wedding, then they don't have that, you have to go bow like to their ancestors, to their family, and all that. If you're still traditional, So this is just only talking to through the traditional lens of like Beimong church. If you convert, then it's different as well too.
Yeah, because the reason why I was kind of like laughing a little bit right there, because when my brother got married, my dad was traveling still, and then there was nobody home. And since my mom was not able to, we couldn't get any assistance. And so my mom sent me and my brother to do that part.
Mm.
And so I'm very fortunate that my brother's mother-in-law, which was my mother-in-law too as well, was very nice and sweet. So, but I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I did it. So I could say that once in my life, I got to do that position, you know.
Yeah, so. that is a very interesting position too, because you move there, you need to bow, because you do check the come move, because you look like hey, but you need to say
no, yeah, it wasn't like that at all.
Come move, because you just do it. Can you? Yeah, can you just do only high? Can you move? Because you just do oh, loon now you loon make it on near, loon now loon make it on see. So you have to kind of give them like a little like incentive, knowing that hey, we have taken your daughter and she's in good hand for you, not to worry.
Yeah, we had a crash course. So I'm very glad that the crash course was very detailed.
Yeah, you know?
We got it done. So I'm very thankful to the mother-in-law for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So after the call, after you guys send that message to the other family, what are your next steps for that?
Then that's whatever the family decides on, then they can decide, and they want to do a 2-day wedding, or they want to do a 1-day wedding. A lot of times now, people have been shifting to the 1-day wedding, but it's still very common for 2-day as well too, because the first day or the first night, it's just more of like the negotiating, knowing that these are the price, these are the and dowry we're looking for, and I'll see if there's any family members involved or anything like that. Then after that, then they'll do the second part of the wedding.
So when does the groom sleep over and then tomorrow morning go and slaughter the...
Yeah, so that's the first night. So after the two messenger from with the day you took her home, mm-hmm. and then whatever date that is set, then
the night before,
yeah.
Oh, okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. And then after the slaughter, then that's the wedding itself.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're gonna go back to commercial again, and this is Multicultural 1600 AM. Tune in to my special guest, Dual Lord, today. Back to Multicultural 1600 AM. This is the Mo American Hour. I'm your host Tua, and my special guest today is Dual Lord. So before during the commercial break, we're just talking a bit, and then so Dual, so I forgot to ask you earlier, what was one thing that your dad inspired you, or that you wish that you had learned from your dad, and the reason why?
I think one thing that I really wish was able to learn from my dad is knowing his history in a larger detail, knowing that during that time, like the war time, and how he served, and still carry on a lot of his tradition and culture, and being the leader that he is, I would really want to know more in detail of like how was he able to manage carrying on all of those roles, responsibilities, and still able to be who he is. So that's one of the reasons why, like, yeah, right now I'm still like trying to navigate that myself, mm-hmm. trying to understand what is it being Hmong man? How does that look like? Knowing, like, traditionally we hold different responsibility, and knowing that some of our culture, our tradition are still being practiced, and how does that look like in his time?
So more like his story, his story of his life. Yeah, talking about that, that brought up a good thing I did too. Before my mom passed away, I took my time and I spent time with her, and I recorded her asking her to tell me her story. And there's a lot of good things, a lot of funny things, a lot of sad things about my mom's story. But I think that's one thing that I encourage everyone to at least, like, spend time with your parents if they're still here. Just talk to them and record their life story, you know. Mm-hmm. I even made my mom tell me her, you know, stories that are very private. But then, you know, I recorded it. And now whenever I go on my 4 or 5 hour drive, you know, I'll play it back and I'll listen to it. And I'll be like, wow, this is my mom, you know.
Yep.
So what's, you didn't say so yet, but what's the one thing that you also regret not learning from your dad?
Just learning the culture from my dad, learning the tradition, knowing that I am who I am today because of what he has done to inspire me. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the regrets is because even though I was already old enough to kind of understand these concepts, starting to learn and practice, but I never took the time and never took the initiative until he was to the point where he was not able to teach me anymore. So now I'm like, okay, I'm learning and I'm practicing all of these stuff, but I really wish that he's here to see me.
To guide you.
Yeah, to guide me along the way. Because there was one incident, like at the funeral, where I saw an individual that I know, and I saw him and his dad, and his dad was there to support him. And that's one thing that makes me like...
That hit you harder.
Yeah, it's just like, I really wish my dad was able to be there to support me when I'm like doing some of the things that I'm doing.
So what's one thing that you picked up that you're glad that you did
right now?
I mean, from your dad. Not, I mean, right now, like, for example, like back then you didn't realize it, but then you picked it up, and now you look back to it, well, you know, I did learn something, you know.
I think just being persistent and just keep going. I think that's how my dad was too, knowing that he like growing up, I noticed that he went through a lot of challenges and struggle too, but he was persistent in all of the things that he has done. So I think that's one thing that can say that I picked up from him.
Okay, so if your dad were here today what's one thing that you probably he might have, I mean, what's one thing that he would like guide you with?
I think that's a tough question that I haven't thought about it yet, too.
Well, I guess I'll Facebook message you in that one later on then.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't thought much about that one because after he passed, then I just have been focusing on, you know, just trying to see how can I better my life, how can I better my family, and how can I better the community.
So since you haven't thought of that one yet, what's one thing you would tell your son if he listened to this, like, 15 years from now?
That learn as much as you can, do the things that you feel that you need to do, knowing that that's how your dad has lived his life, or I mean, at least that's how I'm living my life right now. And just take advantage of every opportunity that you get and make the best out of it. That's one thing that I can say that definitely I have been inspired through all the interaction with all the individuals that I have. And I'm hopeful that my kids will be doing the same thing what I'm doing too.
So with your Koming, with all the stuff you're teaching right now, are you open to teach people too? Or is that why you started learning with Dua? Is that the reason why?
So I'm not like an official, or I'm not well versed enough to say that I can teach other.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I'm doing with Learn with Dua is just to teach the concept that I learn and I know. And I can openly say that, you know, some of the concept that I said on, well, like I post on like social media or on the page that I have created, not a lot of people will agree with me. And it's because we all have our, you know, we all have our own opinion, and I do support all of that. And, but it's just more of like, what have I learned? Hopefully what I learned can, be passed on to other people, and hopefully they can learn that and branch it off into something that will better their life as well.
So earlier you mentioned that every morning you would like think of a topic to talk about or just write it down. What's today's topic in your mind today's morning?
So today's, it's very interesting because of the situation going on with the coronavirus and all of that, and how we all are scavenging for supplies and all of that, and how some other people are well prepared and some are not. It's just kind of like that thought process of how do we proceed on with life, knowing that a situation like this has come and no one's really prepared. Mm-hmm. How does the future holds us, knowing that what if this situation is resolved? How does it look like? What if this situation is not resolved? How does it look like?
And what's your thoughts on that?
It's still in the process. It's still in the process because I haven't really formulated any kind of idea or any way how to explain it yet. Mm-hmm. Because knowing that this might be a very, in a way, controversial, at the same time, it's also alarming.
Yeah.
Knowing that, like, in a way, that it's like survival. How does it feel? So I haven't really processed that yet.
Yeah, because I have a sister that's very concerned about the situation, and earlier I was showing you my phone, and she has 100 texts per 5 minutes, 100 texts talking about warning us about what's going on. And for me, I'm a little bit chill about it. I'm just gonna slowly observe and do the best I can. Coming from the Hmong community, what's one of your thoughts that could help calm down the elders? Because my dad was panicking and he was like, "Oh, the world's gonna end." So what's your one thought that you can at least tell the elders that's listening on the radio show today?
I can definitely say that, you know, with all the news going on, it is true. This is really happening. Niying Mo Cheng Te Niying exists, and I mean it is very alarming. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like you to you cheng le jay you or a hang jay rong go nu haya. It makes everything else goes it makes it worse.
Yeah.
So Hajong na jay don't it is a very, you know, scary time, but at the same time stay calm. Mm-hmm. So that way that other people are, you know, they're not, you're not shocking other people as well too.
Yeah.
Because you have to, you change it, you want other people change it, it's like everybody's is like a chicken without a head.
Domino effect.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, so sister thing the good that thing hi ting cha jay. What your good dad call every hour, what's going on? You buy more toilet paper, what's going on? You buy more food, what's going on? I'm like, I'm working, Dad.
Yeah.
But I kinda see that too, where if you think it, everyone's gonna think. So
yeah.
So learning with Duo, so what is your commitment to that? It's like sometimes I heard you earlier say that some people may disagree with you, and sometimes things you put out is like it doesn't go the way how you wanted it to go. What makes you commit to that process?
So even with that, even with Learn with Duo, like I do have a commitment for it, but at the same time I'm not consistent, and I haven't set any structure on to, let's say, you know, like for like the past 2 years that I have started, I don't put a lot of content out there. I only put on content that I feel that I want to let people know. So it's not like random content or it's anything like that. Going back to when we talk about how I have that thought process, or kind of like thought of the day. Okay. So like anytime when I drive around and I thought of something, then I'll just make a note of it. So like I keep kind of like a journal on it, but some of those are just, in the journal and they're not out there. So okay. I feel like it just depends on the time and depends on what I feel that may be valuable to people.
So that's barely new. So that, the process is not that big of a bigger process yet. So probably the biggest process is your learning or mikong de hopia. So when did you feel like, okay, it's so tough to learn these words and I just want to give up and let somebody else do it? Have you ever had those thoughts before?
I have, actually. So I, when I first started,
And also plus you're a family man too. So talk about like how your relationship too.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually took this course from my brother because he was teaching a class. And I actually went through the first round, but I did not complete because it was so tough and because of the time. And like you said, I'm also a family man too. So there was a lot of things that I had to do. And then I was committed, but I wasn't fully committed to have everything all done within the time frame that we have set. So then I took that whole year. I wasn't able to finish. And then the following year, I just kind of learned a little bit here and there. And then the third year when I came back on, I was committed, and that's when I started to practice it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So during those time, was your spouse ever like, don't learn because it's a waste of time? Or because, you know, like sometimes when you're doing something and your spouse doesn't understand the value of it, or maybe the home is so busy that they just feel like it's not as important as the home. Have you ever run that kind of situation and say, you know what, I need to do this?
Yeah, definitely. Before that, I just want to give a big shout out to my wife, Stacy. She is the biggest supporter on me, and definitely because like it takes a lot of your weekend because your wedding, you know, on the weekend. So a lot of times, spend time with the wife or with your family. Yeah. So it does takes a big commitment from the spouse and from myself as well too. And that individual has to be very understanding in order for me to do the things that I'm doing.
So anybody can learn it, but then to execute the practice, if they're married, then the spouse has to be
very supportive, and they have to be there to kind of like help you along the way. Because sometimes you go for like the whole weekend and then you come back home and it's kind of like, oh, how come you don't spend time with me? How come we could have been doing this and that? And then it caused like problem in the family as well.
Did it take a while before she kind of understands, or?
No, she's what actually really supported from the very beginning. Oh, yeah, because I share with her that those are some of the things that decision. And she was supportive, and I make sure that she supported me before I started.
So in the Hmong culture, when the father or mother is a shaman, and they say that most likely one of the son or the daughter has become a shaman too, through like a vision. Has that happened to any of your family members, siblings at all? Or
not that I'm aware of yet.
But maybe the timing, maybe?
Maybe timing, yeah.
Because sometimes it comes early, sometimes it comes later in life, right?
Yep.
Okay. So if it doesn't come to you, then maybe your
My children, yeah.
And okay. So do you know any other shaman like around our age?
I do. I have seen, but I have not witnessed them
do the practice
yet, but I am aware, and they have informed that they do they are like shaman.
Okay, all right, so we're coming to an end right now. So any last word and shout outs, Dua? This is your last 2 minutes, so take advantage of it and make it.
Yeah, I do want to give a special shout out to the Multicultural 1600 AM for having this talk show, inviting our Hmong community to be here on this show. At the same time, I want to give a special shout out to you, Tua, for having me here. Really appreciate you allowing this time for me to share some of the things that I have gone through, at the same time to share a little bit about Learn With Dua, knowing that Learn With Dua really has a purpose of just to be there to inspire Hmong or any other individual to learn more about Hmong, at the same time also pursue higher education. That's kind of like the purpose behind Learn With Dua. So I just want to thank you all for tuning in, and thank you all for listening.
Yeah, cool. All right, so Multicultural 1600 AM is Monday through Friday daily from 1 to 2. It's the Hmong American Hour, and Tuesdays are my hour from Community Process, and thank you again.
this was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.